Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful Lord's Day, an opportunity to be with family and friends and to celebrate the Eucharist, to celebrate the Lord's resurrection. It's so important for us to be able to honor the Lord's Day, to continue to, as God's people, gather around that deed, that saving deed, Jesus' death on a cross, that's represented to us as we come together, the reality of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. That's the center of our lives as Christian people. That's the place that we get formed and remember who we are, and we see Jesus who followed, loved, obeyed, and surrendered to the Father everything, even to the point of death, and that this is the road to life for all of us. And it's so important for us to understand as parishes, as dioceses, as individuals, as a living community, to be informed by that reality, the foundation of our faith. It's so beautiful, and it's unfortunate so many baptized Catholics are missing it, maybe don't know what they're missing. I pray that they return and that we elevate and continue to celebrate the centrality and the importance of celebrating the Lord's Day and encountering Jesus in that grace and power. It's so amazing to think every once in a while the idea of all around the world, really almost every tribe and nation in some ways being touched directly by this celebration of the Eucharist, where people from Asia and Latin America and Africa and Europe and the United States, around the world, stop what they're doing. They go place themselves before God, and Jesus teaches us his word, and then he feeds us, and he reveals, and this offering is made to the Father of the life of Jesus. Jesus offered his life to the Father on a cross, and in that process, he paid the debt of our sin, and he took away sin, Scripture says, in the shedding of his blood and destroying the devil's power. But he makes a perfect offering of his life to God the Father, an act of love. It's that act of love that has given hope to the human race. And all over the world, young and old, rich and poor, of every nation, tribe, and language, people make their way to that altar. And together we say amen to what's happening on that altar. We say, Father, yes, we want to be united to this offering of Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to be in his wake. We want to be lifted by him into the presence of our Father in heaven. And that's really what happens at the Eucharist. It's an amazing miracle. And more over the last year in particular, I've been thinking really time and again how the most important thing that's happening on the planet is the offering of the life, passion, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ at the Eucharist. Jesus is determined to offer the Father from this earth that was fallen and rebellious, that's now being lifted up by Christ. Jesus is determined to offer a perfect sacrifice to the Father, a sacrifice that's rooted in radical surrender and total obedience and humility and love. Jesus will offer that sacrifice on this earth until he comes again in glory. And he wants every human being to be united to that offering so we can make right sacrifice to the Lord. We can offer ourselves to the Father. It's Jesus is the one who brings us into the presence of the Father. I mean, there's just so much there. I wasn't intending mainly to talk about this morning, but just thinking about its importance and its centrality, and you can see the reason why the devil is attacking it so much and causing so many people to kind of drift away from the faith and be disconnected from this central reality that the church calls the source and summit of her faith. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is sometimes the essence of Christianity. It's expressed there in the Eucharist and the life of Jesus. What is at the essence of our faith, of Christianity? What's at its root? You know, some people might say Christianity is a personal moral code, you know, that somehow it's an elevated morality. It's a special understanding, a more perfect understanding of what morality is. Well, it does include morality, but that's not the center of it. You know, things like don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't commit adultery, keep holy the Lord's Day, be kind to people, be merciful. All of that's part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But and it's not that, but it's also not a philosophy of life alongside Plato and Confucius and other philosophers that have come down the pike over the years. It's not a set of truth statements about God either. It's not limited to a creed or a catechism, which obviously are important. It's not a particular way of praying, even the Mass, the Rosary, private prayer. It's not a way to help people just to do good things and to be better people. It's not a humanitarian plan for the betterment of society. Let's make the world a better place, abolish slavery, eradicate hunger. It's not, as Pope Francis said, he reminds us, the church is not an NGO. But Christianity involves these things at a very deep level, but it's not their essence. What is the essence of the Christian life? This amazing reality of what Christ has done for us. What does he bring to us? What is it that Christianity brings to the world most fundamentally? Well, Christianity is new life. It's the story of God visiting us and bringing us who were dead back to life again. Christ brings with him the life of God, the life of the Father. That's the good news. The gospel means good news. It's supremely good news. But the good news of the news is only clear when we understand why we see the need to hear the good news. People don't realize the antidote that Jesus was bringing, its significance, because they don't know the depth of the disease. And St. Paul summarizes it really simply in just a few words. In the second chapter of Ephesians, he said, "And you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins." This is what Jesus came to deal with. Jesus is the antidote, and the life he brings is the antidote to this problem. You were dead through your trespasses and sins. The heart of the church's mission is to extend what Jesus brought to a world that doesn't yet have it. And this is an important thing to see and understand, because the apostles would say, in this life, God has given us power to become children of God. God did something in Jesus' incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection. Jesus brought something that the world did not have on its own. Jesus didn't come just to say, hey, look what you already have. He came to bring us something that we don't have. And that's the life of God. Now, prior to Jesus coming, we know every human being was created by God, was created in God's image, and is loved by God. But in a technical sense, no one on earth had yet become a child of God. Today, that understanding gets blurred very often, like everybody's a child of God. Well, no, not in this most precise sense that the apostles are talking about it here in the scripture. Because to become a child of God, Jesus said you have to be born again of water and the Spirit, which means you need to receive this new life that Jesus has brought to us. And thinking of the first letter of St. John, he begins the letter by declaring what the apostles understood most fundamentally, this reality of Christianity being a new life. St. John put it this way. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has been made manifest to us." They're proclaiming life, and the reality that life is in a person. And that life is something the world has never seen in this way. It's the divine life of God himself brought to humanity, brought to the earth in the person of Jesus who became one of us. And Jesus' entire mission is to transfer that life. That's why he became one of us. St. Paul tells us, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that Adam gave us natural life. That's what Paul is talking about in that section. But Jesus Christ is a life-giving spirit. He passes on to us his own spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so we're born again, as he said, by water and the Spirit. And that reality is the old man, which is not yet a child of God in this technical sense that Paul's talking about. That's why? Because it's trapped in its trespasses and sins, and it's subject to eternal death and separation from God. Jesus came to deal with that problem, and so Paul says, he made you alive. He made you alive with God's life, with the Christ life, the life that's in Christ. That's the very essence of Christianity, right here, to be brought from death to life and to share in the life which belongs to Jesus. Now, in the first chapter of John's Gospel, the prologue, it's called, of the Gospel there, we've talked about this in the past, and it's so important to go back to it periodically to remember what's at the center of all this. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus and to be in his church and to be baptized into Christ? Here, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, referring to Jesus, right, to Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. Now, verse 4, in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's John's inspired declaration of who Christ is, the second person of the Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of God. He's the Word through which God has created all things. He's the Word that the Father has spoken into his creation, but also he's the Word that has come to us and taken on human flesh and spoken to us and revealed to us God's entire plan and purpose of salvation for the human race. And how does John identify him? What does John say about him? In him was life. And that life was the light of men. It's an absolutely unique life. It's God's life. It's eternal life. It's a life that's not subject to death. It's a life that has overcome the power of sin and death. And it's that life transferred to us, given to us, as we're united to Jesus in baptism, where Jesus puts away sin. He puts our sin to death. Because why? Because we die with Christ in baptism. And the old man is put to death. And then we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He washes us clean so that the life of God, the Holy Spirit, can come and dwell in us. And so St. Paul will say, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. So when we're inviting people to become followers of Jesus and to enter his church, we're inviting them to be born again by water and the Spirit. And to be Christian at its essence means that, as St. Paul says, by God's action, by God's mercy, not by my own human achievement or my ideas or my philosophy or even my deeds, by God's mercy and by God's power, I have been brought from death to life. Jesus said the Father had given him the authority to give eternal life to whomever he desired. And Jesus desires that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's walk in it, friends, and be ready to share it with others. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.